show for all your latest UFC news and rumors. It's Brian Coyle. It's Sean Stanley. It's the TFM Live podcast. And it's now.
It is Monday, and fight week just ended, Hidalgo, Texas. And it is Sean Stanley, and I bring in, as always, my co-host, Brian Coyle. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. It wasn't just the random Viggo Mortensen movie Hidalgo this week. We actually learned that there was a place called Hidalgo, Texas, and there were UFC fights this week. And two awesome knockouts to end that card. Derek Brunson beating Uriah Hall, and Michael Johnson proving us all wrong about Dustin Poirier's rise, defeating the Diamond via knockout. Bad one, too. And he taunted him at the end of it. There was some bad blood between those guys. But that's not the biggest story. It's not even a UFC story, Sean, that's the biggest story around. Chael Sonnen's back in our lives as a fighter. Like, legitimately. He's now signed, announced Thursday night, by Bellator MMA. Former UFC contender Chael Sonnen has unretired and signed an exclusive multi-year, multi-fight contract with the promotion. The news was first reported by the Associated Press. The man known as the American Gangster, who's fought three times for a title during his MMA career, losing, of course, to John Jones and Anderson Silva twice, he has come back after being suspended for the past 2 years for two positive drug tests prior to his fight against Wanderlei Silva. The ban was lifted. He negotiated his release from the UFC despite entering the USADA drug testing pool back in July when his suspension ended. So now we get Chael Sonnen and Bellator. What is your initial reaction to all this?
Isn't this what Bellator always does?
I mean, I love the move.
I love the move because, and not only that, but you're going to have an unfiltered, probably, Chael Sonnen, which is going to, you know, whether you want to believe it or not, somehow he talks himself into big fights.
Yeah,
and people
like
that.
It's amazing the amount of chances. I mean, Sonnen 29-14-1 over his mixed martial arts career. And it's not like this guy has ever been the most elite of the elite. He was a great fighter during his prime, during the Wild West of PEDs, mind you. And I've got a story about Sonnen that we'll talk about in a little bit regarding performance enhancing drugs. But he was the first guy to be able to, like, talk his way into these big matchups. He talked his way into the John Jones fight. He talked his way into a second Anderson Silva fight. Like, this guy is, by the book, the way, like, anybody wants to, like, promote themselves, just follow the Sonnen blueprint at this point. He was on a conference call with the media after signing with Bellator, and he put over all of the other fights that were happening, like the Czech Congo fight that happened on Friday night. And he's putting forth all these other – he's promoting all these other guys in Bellator, and everyone's just there to listen to him talk. But all of a sudden, you hear these other names, and people will automatically just go to these other names and look up all these names. It's just a brilliant marketing move by Scott Coker. I mean, we don't know if he can fight anymore, but he's not going to be fighting like who's he going to be fighting? Is he going to be fighting Wanderlei Silva? Is he going to be fighting Tito Ortiz? Is he going to be fighting Fedor? The one I found very interesting.
It's going to be more of these Royce Gracie, Ken Shamrock type fights.
Yeah, but this is the interesting thing. He says he's going to fight multiple weight divisions. He called it gangster weight. But Rory McDonald apparently is interested in a Chael Sonnen fight, which I find is very interesting because of where those two guys are when we measure them in their MMA careers. Because Rory, go back just a little over a year ago, is fighting for the title and getting his nose busted up, but was this close to, like, becoming champion. And now he could be fighting Chael Sonnen at middleweight? Like what do you think of all this?
Well, I mean, I think it's a great, as you say, it's a great move for Bellator, because not only, look, I mean, they kind of tried it with, who was the guy that just, just moved over to Bellator, and they brought him in. He was doing some announcing duties. You got an analyst, too, in Kael Sonnen there.
That's so true.
You know, I mean, even if this fighting thing, whatever, but at least when you put him on the mics, he's going to sound better than I cannot think of who the guy's name is now. He sounded terrible on the trying to analyze all these fights and everything. It's like, wow, buddy. But, and as you said, I mean, Sonnen can talk a fight up. He's the kind of one of the first that kind of, I mean, there was smack talk, but not like he cut that pro wrestling style of promo to where you started like, okay. And that's where I think some of this started, where it was like, okay, this stuff is sort of, they started seeing, okay, we can sell people to put butts in the seats, you know, and he's one of the few first that did that.
And I mean, everyone talks about McGregor being the one of the first guys to do this. Sonnen was the originator of it.
Yeah,
like this is the guy who you want as your mouthpiece. And it's interesting because obviously his history with performance enhancing drugs. I mean, the TRT stuff. He came out and said, we don't know if this is true, because they'll never reveal contract details and all this. But Sonnen came out and said that the whole USADA situation had no bearing on his decision, because he was tested four times and passed when he entered the USADA program. That the release from the UFC was probably just due to the fact that the way the UFC plays hardball with every single fighter nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't come.
Well, they pick and choose who they want to play hardball with. Let's be honest. I mean,
but they're squeezing a lot more people than they don't.
Yeah. I think if they think that you're going to be something, or, you know, and you're not just in your past, I think if you're in your, what they consider your past.
Yeah.
Then they're going to squeeze you more to be like, hey, look, this is what we're going to give you. If you like it, stay. If you don't, go to Bellator. Basically, yep, is what they're saying.
And this is what Sonnen said, because the drug testing, obviously, in Bellator, different than in the UFC. There's no USADA. It's only the commission drug test wherever you fight. And Sonnen said, quote, if I was to fail a test under my Bellator contract, it would cost me 100% of my purse and $500,000. That is in writing. Now, I understand for you guys it's not as good as a clean test, but boy, that's got to mean something. If you think I didn't read that part before I signed it, I did. I don't know if that was unique to me or that's a boilerplate and everybody's got it. I don't know, but I saw that. So that's before you deal with the commission issues and everything else. But right off the top, full purse, 500 grand. That's just to Bellator. That's before we start dealing with commissions. And again, I don't know if that's what they set aside for me, but I'm on the other side of the tracks now, and you wouldn't believe it if you saw it. I've still got the biggest arms in the business. So he puts himself over while saying that he'll lose his purse if he tests positive. Whether that's true is a whole other issue, because Sonnen has said a million things, and you literally have to throw a dart if something's true or not. But putting that out there, and if he does come out and test positive, it's a very bad look for him. So he's got the guts to do it. Either he's got the best drugs in the business and nobody will ever test for them, or he's going to be clean.
Or he's going to pick and choose which states he fights in with the commissions.
Yeah, that's another thing. So adding Sonnen to Bellator is what Bellator is. The freak show fight stuff that we've seen before.
Puts
promotion
a little spice on it, makes it interesting for a little bit, and then you see what happens and go from there.
Yeah. I mean, reportedly there's hope for a November fight against Tito Ortiz. So if you're going to – I mean, people are going to watch it.
Yeah, no, they're going to watch it because it's on free TV. Again, that's something that Bellator kind of
always has the advantage.
Yeah, they have the advantage because, look, you're not really paying for it. I mean, you're going to go yeah, your ratings are probably going to be high because people want to see that fight. Or they probably wanted to see that fight a couple years ago, but now they get a chance to see it.
And for free.
Yep.
So
that's always
American
good.
The American Gangster is back. And Bellator adds another guy who's past his prime but still is a big name.
Yep.
Now, before we get to – I mean, we mentioned the Hidalgo card, and it had some crazy moments. Chaz Skelly's flying kick into, like, a guillotine, Darce choke. Like, that card was all out of the blue. Michael Johnson comes back and gets a huge win after the Nate Diaz loss. And we were thinking, like, this guy was so dangerous – and he could be on the verge of losing three straight. He beats Poirier, whose chin comes into question once again. Derek Brunson stops Uriah Hall. So I think the potential that we've always talked about Uriah Hall, I think we could kind of close the book on that.
Yeah, we need to start maybe moving on from that.
Yeah. So
you
the Hall card,
you cost
fun, the most MMA you could get, kind of, because it was just a weird night overall.
How many fights were on that card? I know you probably don't know off the top of your head, but it seemed like there was a bunch of fights on that card.
Yeah, there were too many fights on that card. That's the answer to that question. But this week we have a fight night. Chris Cyborg is fighting against Lena Landsberg. And if you can tell me anything about Lena Landsberg, you'd be the first. So Chris Cyborg obviously fighting at 140, and this, I think this will be her last cut to 140, because we've seen, like, she can't do that. Like, it's, she shouldn't be doing this.
No, she looks bad in the weigh-ins, man.
Yeah. So
it's amazing, though, to see her in the weigh-ins and then see her fight. It's like two different people.
Completely. So let's make our picks, the top three fights here.
Oh, now we're going top three, because you win the top two, and now you're going top three here.
I mean, I could go four. These are all names that we know. These are all, like, big guys. But we'll do three. Cyborg versus Landsberg. I'm going to hazard a guess here. You going to take Chris Cyborg in this one?
You know what? I so want to go against her, just because I you know what, man?
Do you really think you have that big of a lead where you could just start pissing wins away?
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm doing it. No, what's her name?
Lena Landsberg.
Landsberg. I'm taking Landsberg with the upset. I don't know why, because I know nothing about her, except I didn't know her name until about 2 minutes ago.
See, this, like, I had already written Cyborg down as your pick, too, so I had to cross it off now. Oh, boy. Henning Burrell, Felipe Nauvaire at featherweight. Burrell's debut at featherweight didn't go great. He lost to Jeremy Stephens, but Nauvaire has not been honestly that impressive recently. So who you got in this one?
I'm gonna take Burrell. I mean, you got it. This is kind of like, look, UFC saying, look, okay, we're gonna kind of hand feed you this one, so we can
don't mess
you,
it up.
Get you back up. Don't mess it up.
And everyone's favorite fight between two big dudes, big country, Roy Nelson against Antonio Bigfoot Silva.
Man, neither of these guys have looked great in their last fights either.
I'm going to go Big Country with this one, just because Bigfoot has, to me, not looked good at all. Like,
no,
he was not.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, just, but Big Country hasn't looked the greatest either. I mean, he looked,
well, he's taking punishment. He just hasn't been able to get off the ground.
Yeah, he's just been there. I mean, he's taking the punishment. It's just like, I mean, that last fight, I almost wanted a ref to stop the fight. It was like,
against Barnett, I mean, hey.
Oh, man.
Who you got?
I got to go Big Country, just because Silva's looked worse in his fight.
Who has been less terrible?
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm doing this one.
That tells you pretty much all you need to know about this card. When you, if you want, it's on FS1 this weekend, Saturday night. If you want to watch Cyborg, it's always an event.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I'd recommend tuning in, even if it is a glorified squash. Who knows? You want to see the most massive upset in the history of mixed martial arts?
Oh, my goodness. That could be, that would be, right? That would overshadow all the, even the title fights?
Yep. That'd be the biggest upset that I could.
I don't even know what Lena Landsberg looks like. I don't even know. Does she even look like she could even stand?
She's 6-1. She's got a 67% knockout percentage.
Okay.
And
is she allowed to use the brass knuckles under her gloves this fight?
No. Ric Flair will not be in her corner, or Arn Anderson just sliding in.
Slide him in on the hand so she's laying by the cage.
She has never fought in the UFC before. She's 34. And good luck. Good luck to her.
Oh, man. I think I might have messed up, but I'm sticking with my picks. I'm sticking with the picks.
You're sticking with it.
I'm sticking with it.
And we talk about that to tell you this. Dana White recently told Brazil's Globo that there's nothing on the horizon in regards to the promotion adding new weight classes for women.
Do you know what that means?
So it's going to happen.
Yeah. They're going to crown Cyborg the champ at the FS1.
Featherweight and flyweight women's divisions?
If she wins.
I legitimately think that a flyweight division should be something that the UFC has before a featherweight division. I think Cyborg is just a special attraction at this point, and you can make featherweight fights. Like, nothing's stopping you from doing that if you don't have a division.
Yeah, but I mean, but how many of these that are down wouldn't go up? I mean, maybe not go up because they, Cyborg would be in the division, but I mean, how many people could cut down? I mean, some people can't cut down to 135, 140, but if you get some of these, you know, bigger women to cut down to 145, maybe, is that such a tough thing? I mean, I don't think so.
You
probably get hand-fed to Cyborg every time, but I mean,
I just think the way their depth is on the roster, I think you can get a lot of women that would fight at 125 over 145 at the moment. So I think the flyweight thing would be next. They've experimented with flyweight bouts previously. I know there have been Valerie Letourneau had talked about that cut to 115 being insane, and her last fight was at 125, mm-hmm. and it was a much better cut. Now, of course, she lost that fight, and there were stuff regarding the Reebok uniform kits and all that. But this is the sort of thing where I think we'll get a flyweight division soon. I don't know how soon we'll ever get a featherweight division, but Cyborg is just the person at 145. And if we want to have that, if you can, nothing's stopping you from making fights against her at 140 or 145. So I don't see anything, a problem with that. But like you always say, Dana White says something, the opposite is going to happen very soon.
Yeah, they'll crown, if she wins this weekend, I guarantee there's a new title. And there's a 145 division.
Just pull out the belt like a cruiserweight.
That's it.
The cruiserweights. Oh, yeah, by the way, you're the champ now.
That's it. She'll raise her hands, and then all of a sudden a belt will just pop out of nowhere, Dana White putting it around her waist.
Before we move on here, this is a shortened edition of TFM Live, the official podcast of the FullMountMMA.com. We usually full hour every Monday from 12 to 1, around in that time, as we like to call it, Sean. You can find us online.
12-ish, we call it. 12-ish.
Yeah, 12-ish. But you can find us online, thefullmountmma.com, online on Facebook, facebook.com/thefullmountmma. For the biggest stories, Twitter, we tweet every story out that we have at the full mount, at bcoral11 for me, at SS Sports Talk for Sean. You guys have any questions, anything you want more coverage on, like if you're more interested in the Bellator stuff, we can expand our horizons. Like Sonnen makes is a big deal. We're covering that. We'll look at stuff and try to evaluate based on what the people want. Got to give the people what they want.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. The people show.
And on iTunes, you subscribe to the podcast if you're listening live and you don't have an opportunity to listen to the whole show. Or you can't go. You don't want to listen to it on YouTube and use your data on a train ride or whatever. Head over to iTunes, TFM Live, type it in the search bar, pops right up. Subscribe to our podcast right there. Two more things I wanted to get to. UFC 205 has lost two bouts since we've last talked. One has been replaced, one hasn't. Ali Aquinta is now going through some serious contract negotiations, or broken off in the contract negotiations. So his fight with Thiago Alves is off the card right now. And I don't think you'd see Aquinta on that card or maybe in the UFC after an article that came out on FoxSports.com from Damon Martin detailed his contract issues with the UFC. And it's not something we're going to get into totally on this week's show, but it is something to watch. These mid-level fighters that are exciting to watch are kind of getting they're getting screwed by this Reebok deal.
Yeah.
And the UFC is playing hardball with it, and you're going to see more fighters. Well,
they got no choice but to play hardball with it. That's what they've signed. I mean, the UFC's
– yeah.
It's something they created.
Yeah, and the UFC's not going to advantageously make it better for fighters on their own. It's not a smart business move. It'd be a great PR move.
Yeah.
But it's not a smart from a business decision. And then also my dream fight, Donald Cowboy Cerrone and Robbie Lawler's off.
Yeah.
Man, why can't we have nice things?
Man.
And by nice things, I mean brutal fights in New York.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing. You gotta have, you know what? By the time that card rolls around, there's no telling what this card's going to look like.
I mean, we do know that Chris Weidman, Yoel Romero is going to be happening on that card. That has been widely reported. We mentioned that it could possibly happen on last week's show.
Yeah.
Obviously, it comes to fruition. This is the match to make. It's a fight that makes sense. Oh, that'll be
you
fun.
You have to do something now. It's almost like you're trying to throw the Brock Lesnar match on 200 at the last minute.
And the so Cerrone will fight Gastelum, Kelvin Gastelum now, which is a good fight. I mean, Gastelum's only 24 years old, and he's getting a big name in Cerrone. It's just not Robbie Lawler.
Yeah, no, it's not Lawler against Cerrone now. It's Cerrone against Gastelum. Yeah, it doesn't have the same room.
It's not the same tier of fight. Weidman against Romero, very interesting. Weidman coming off that neck injury, Romero coming off that 6-month suspension. Romero did not look great, but he got the win against Jacare Sosa in his last bout. And Jacare is fighting Luke Rockhold in, I believe, Melbourne, Australia, coming up in November. So those guys will kind of figure their middleweight, the middleweight section out, while Bisping goes to fulfill his revenge against Dan Henderson at UFC 204 in a couple of weeks. And it's still rumored at this point, but we've talked about this for weeks now. It looks more and more like it's going to be McGregor Alvarez to headline this card, because Cormier and Anthony Johnson had a back and forth with each other on Twitter, and Cormier basically said, like, the window's closed for our fight in Madison Square Garden, but I'll take you on in Toronto, or I'll take you on December 30th, which is the UFC fight card, the pay-per-view right before New Year's. So I don't think we get Johnson and Cormier. I think we get McGregor Alvarez. No telling what's the deal with the featherweight title.
Let me ask you this, though, because you said Cormier said the window's closed. He closed the window?
That's what he wrote on Twitter. Think about it here. We're like 6 weeks away from
it. But then let me ask you this, though, because now you're saying Alvarez and McGregor. So then that must already be done.
That's what it seems like. But it's been Joe Rogan apparently slipped up. People caught this on his Fight Companion podcast, that he was talking about McGregor Alvarez is a done deal for an awesome fight at 205. That was going around Twitter on Saturday night. I believe it, because, I mean, they're going to tell Rogan what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But
not anymore, they won't.
There's rumors of Frankie Edgar fighting in that card as well. I think it was against Jeremy Stephens.
That's not a bad fight.
That is not a bad fight. It's not like a oh-my-God
No,
fight.
It's not, but it's one of those like where, you know, it's not going to be boring.
Yes. And also, when you look at this, what's Jose Aldo going to do? Is Aldo fighting in that? Are they going to throw him on that card if McGregor's fighting on that card? Because there's been rumors of an Aldo-Holloway fight, rumors of an Aldo-Pettis fight at 145, which I'm totally signed up for. Does Pettis deserve a title shot? No, not even close. Holloway's won like 10 in a row. But Anthony Pettis is Anthony Pettis, and Max Holloway is Max Holloway.
So, aloha.
Yeah. Goodbye. That's what the UFC's waving to Holloway right now, despite all the wins that he's had. So 205 slowly coming into picture. We don't know all the bits and pieces. These fights haven't even really been announced.
What's funny to me is that, like, I think you're personally trying to – you got a wish list of fights, and you're just going down there thinking, if I call them out, they will happen.
Me?
Yeah,
personally?
Yeah, for your fight.
Well, these have been all the
cards you're
going
to be at, and you're like, yes, let these rumored fights be true.
This is everything that's kind of coming into focus right now, dude. This is crazy, because we are less than 2 months away from this card, and we don't know what anything is.
Oh, 100%. I mean, isn't that the way it usually works out?
But it usually you kind of get a sense of it, but all these fights, like, this is MSG. This is New York City. And are they going to release it all at once, the whole card? Because we know there's going to be changes. My worst nightmare is spending all this money, because it's going to be pricey, the Garden. And then I see the McGregor shin injury happening and him pulling out. I just see it. Because the guy should not be fighting.
Is Cerrone against Gastelum.
Yeah, the guy should not be fighting this many times in this short of a time frame. But he's a warrior, and I don't understand it. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. But there's a potential, like, if you end up with Weidman, Romero, Cowboy Cerrone, Gastelum, if you end up Aldo defending his title against Holloway or something like that, you end up with McGregor Alvarez. That's a great card. you can't argue with that. It's a lighter card in terms of weight divisions. No big guys. But
yeah, I put the big guys on Fight Pass.
Yeah. So, and throwing at Frankie Edgar on that card too. Aljamain Sterling's been fighting for a spot on that card forever. I don't know if he's going to be on it. So there's plenty of spots to fill. And we'll see how the UFC unveils the card, because supposedly they've sent pre-sale emails out to people. In like 2 weeks, you'll have access to it. So in 2 weeks, there better be some fights on that card, or people are going to be a little hesitant to spend.
Well, maybe they see how many people buy with just what they have now, and then they're like, okay, we got to put you guys on this card.
You mean zero? Who buy with zero cards?
Nobody's going to buy the first fight in New York City, no matter who's on the card. You don't think anybody's going to go to it?
I don't know. I don't know.
You still got Cerrone. I mean, people are going to go see Cerrone. I mean, maybe they don't like his opponent or whatever, but maybe they see what the thing, and they're like, oh, we're very light. Okay, throw McGregor on there.
Yeah, I think he's the guy. A guy who could not be the guy, and we'll close out the show with this, CM Punk. The rumored pay-per-view buy rate numbers have come out. First from Dave Meltzer, I believe. And it looks like 425,000 to 475,000 for UFC 203, which featured CM Punk. The comparisons to make would be Miocic Verdum did about under 300,000. So the Punk bump, if you will, was about 150,000, 175,000 fights, we're thinking, buys.
Yeah.
So, which is, according to MMA Fighting, is an added revenue somewhere between $4 million and $6.75 million. So it adds an interesting wrinkle into this Will Punk fight again, because what is that enough? Is that enough of a bump to make it something worth, like, while for the UFC to continue to do this with a guy who can't really fight?
The problem is, I mean, you've seen him fight now. Do you think the same number of people are going to watch this part two?
I mean, the sequel is always worse than the original.
Yeah.
Typically.
Nothing shows me that it's going to be any better unless you put him in there against me.
So if they could go the free fight route, but, like, how can you justify... I mean, they can do whatever the hell they want.
Nobody buys the pay-per-view then, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so...
I mean, you have to put him on a pay-per-view if you think that he's going to... But I just... I think you're kind of insulting the MMA fan by doing that.
Oh, you're insulting more than the fans. You're insulting your fellow fighters, which the UFC has no problem doing.
No, I mean, that's a given. They do that all the time. I mean, but the fact that you're going to throw him on there just to... You know, you're basically telling the fans that, hey, look, we'll put them on there because you're going to buy it anyways just to watch. And yep. After watching that first one, I don't even think I'd pay a cover charge to watch CM Punk fight.
And when he's cut, if he's cut, you know who's going to be coming calling.
Oh, definitely.
Bellator.
Kael Sonnen against CM Punk.
Oh, boy. That the American gangster against the cult of personality.
Yeah. And it'll be the first ever no disqualification MMA fight.
Vince McMahon comes in with a chair to save Punk.
Yep. And then signs him right there on the spot to the WWE once again.
This is what we talk about in a week where a card is from Hidalgo, Texas.
This is what happens.
This is what you give us, UFC.
This is what you give us.
CM Punk, no fights announced for UFC 205. Come on. Be better. Be better than Lena Landsberg against Chris Cyborg.
Man, how much do we miss July again now?
Oh, man. We got spoiled.
Yeah.
We got spoiled. Yeah. But, again, don't worry. Next week, Sean, we get to talk about John Lineker and John Dodson.
So. I feel like we just talked about Lineker.
I know. He had possibly the most fun performance of that crazy July fight week against McDonald. Yeah. The little man Lineker is throwing bombs.
Yeah, he ended McDonald's UFC career.
Yeah. So, hey, man, we'll talk next week. We'll talk John Lineker. We'll talk John Dodson. We're closer, ever so close to the UFC 204. Hopefully we have some announced fights for UFC 205. So all that good stuff. on next week's edition of the TFM Live podcast. Remember, you guys can listen to us live on sportsovertime.com. You can listen on YouTube. Type in the Full Mount MMA into the YouTube search bar. You can find our channel. It's got all the best parts of the podcast, including the full podcast that you can listen to on YouTube. You can find us on iTunes, as I mentioned before, the TFM Live. Type it right in. Or you can type in the Full Mount MMA. Both will come up. The show will be right there. You can backlog, listen to previous podcasts up to a certain point. Twitter, at SS Sports Talk for Sean, at BCoil11 for me, at The Full Mount for the website. Of course, TheFullMountMMA.com, where you can get all your latest important news and rumors regarding the UFC. Hopefully, we get some more fights for UFC 205. And with my ability going into New York City every day, I think we may be able to get some extra cool coverage. I don't want to tease anything just yet, Sean, but we got some stuff in the pipeline working for that.
Awesome.
So, Sean, have I missed anything? I know it's been a short week, but
since it's Hidalgo, Texas week here on TFM Live, Floyd Mayweather says the Conor McGregor fight will not happen. We must move on.
Oh, good.
I just want everybody to know that now. Just everybody out there, make it clear.
Canelo, fight Triple G. All right? That's all I got. That's the way I end our mixed martial arts podcast.
Maybe throw that on 205.
Yeah. I'd like to see that at the Garden at this point. So thank you guys for listening. For Sean, I'm Brian. Have a good day, everybody.
Podcast is brought to you by TheFullMountMMA.com. Check us out on Twitter at TheFullMount.